glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 18th, 2013. And once again, we're having church over here. Jason, and I want to publicly say, I love you, brother. I love you in the Lord. I love your heart for God. I love your passion for His Word. I love
Just don't kiss me.
Yeah, no kisses. Maybe a manly hug. I don't know. We'll see about that. Maybe one of those side manly hugs where I put my, put my arm around your shoulder. But I want to mention to our radio listeners, thank you for coming in extra early. We just taped a conversation with Roger Juan, who wrote the book Chasing God. It's a new release from David C. Cook Publishing, and he has a ministry in the San Francisco area where literally his heart and passion and calling is to establish churches in 586 of these apartment buildings in this one square mile in and around the San Francisco area, or the Bay Area. I think there's 37,000 people there. Anyways, we got to talk with him for about 40 or 50 minutes, and so we'll probably broadcast that conversation, I'm thinking in about 2 weeks, but talk about being challenged and encouraged and inspired and somewhat overwhelmed when you hear about all the needs of these homeless and what goes on in many of these apartment buildings and the drugs and the violence and the uncertainty and the hopelessness. And yet how God has raised him up through his life experiences, being battered as a kid, seeing things, moving out when he was young, coming to Christ through a TV evangelist. So you're going to hear him share some of his story. But both Jason and I were not only moved by his testimony and his sharing, but inspired the commitment and the level of sacrifice that he's done to follow God and to be used and to be personally involved in all these people's lives. So that's an interview we're going to air in a couple weeks. But wow, I'm a little bit overwhelmed. We've been having church here for the last hour or so. And then there was a little time for Jason and I to just talk off air about just different things that are going on in our lives. And it's just one of my favorite times to see what he's reading in the Bible, what he's learning. And then I might throw out, what do you think about this? And then there's a whole long, intent discussion on how would God or Jesus respond, and what do you think his intent was, or what do you think the meaning behind that activity or that expression or whatever. And so if I'm a little bit wound up and maybe overwhelmed and a little exhausted all the same moment, that's what's happening here. But welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Let me make a few little announcements, and maybe you'll want to even comment something that struck you from Roger's conversation, or maybe something that the Lord's teaching you lately. But tomorrow, let me point out for our Merge Gospel friends and anyone that may want to join us for just an evening of studying God's Word, we will be meeting tomorrow night from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Judah Christian School. It's our kind of biweekly gathering, but because of various arrangements, we moved it to the 19th and the 26th. It's our last two in the series of the Merge Gospel, and so make sure you make it out tomorrow, or maybe you want to just be a part of an evening Bible study for once. Come on out to Judah Christian, no obligation. You can just come and enjoy and sit in, and Jason will be sharing through this book that we've been studying for many weeks, and so that'll be happening tomorrow. On Saturday, I'd ask for your prayers, the Singing Men of GNN. We're singing at the Taylorville Correctional Center, and we'll have an opportunity to sing a full concert and present testimonies to the inmates, and we count it a real privilege and a passion of this group to go in and do that, and so we'd ask for your prayers that God would supernaturally work through what's said and shared, and hearts will be tenderized and drawn to Him, and maybe we can leave an eternal perspective in some of these guys' hearts to accept and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Next Tuesday's our special meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign, and Jason Hodges, the general manager, said that he will allow there to be $5 off on two dinner entrees. So if you come with a friend, you both get $2.50 off on your meal, and that's all happening from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign. I have a number of authors and artists and artisans. Is artisans the right word? Like if you deal with like handmade jewelry or craft items, you're an artisan. Okay, yeah. So we have authors, artists, and artisans. So we got the three A's going on there, and that'll happen from 5 to 7 p.m. Come on out for a great meal. Nobody sits alone. I'll kind of help host things and get you seated with maybe another group of Great News Radio listeners, and we'll be meeting at the Olive Garden restaurant. And then a week from this Saturday, so that'll be on September 28th, we're having the special testimony and worship night here at the homestead, at the home studio here. We'll be gathering on my 8 acres in the woods around a campfire. We'll have special sound all set up, so you'll be able to hear. Bring a lawn chair or blanket. It'll go from 5:30 to 7:30. We have 3 special guests that'll share their testimonies, including Dr. David Webb, a family practitioner, family physician in Mahomet, senior saint, 92-and-a-half-year-old Dolly Redden. Many of you heard her testimony on Mark and Friends some weeks back. She's going to share her story. And then one other special guest, and then Debbie Phillips will facilitate worship, and we'll have some singing with her. You'll be really blessed by this event. Open to everyone, those near and far from God. So I think everyone will be inspired and encouraged by these testimonies and by the worship time. There's nothing like being around a campfire, near water, out in the woods. There's no bugs out here, or very few. So if you're somebody like, I don't want to be outside, it'd be buggy and mosquitoes, not at all out here. I'm very fortunate. Maybe it's because all the birds, or there's not water lying around or something where all the mosquitoes would, I don't know, fester or infest or grow or flourish. But it should be nice surroundings. The nature trail's been worked on for many, many weeks. Quick shout out for the Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry guys. I know they're tuning in now. I had them record a radio spot when they were here working on the nature trail. So the nature trail looks great. So come early before 5:30 if you want to walk on that and climb up into the tree fort. And you can even do a lazy river float on one of my kayaks or canoes. So that's all happening on Saturday, September 28th. You're invited. And then the last announcement before we jump into some of God's Word and hopefully some inspiring things that Jason and I can share that'll encourage you to read for yourself what God would have you know and learn and take to heart through His Word. But at the end of the program today, so I'm going to keep you listening, there'll be a call-in for Blue Man Group tickets. They're coming to the State Farm Center tomorrow night at 7:30. Tomorrow night, September 19th, to the State Farm Center, and we'll give away a pair of tickets during the morning edition of Mark and Friends. And then when this re-airs in the evening, at that same time in the program, if you call in, I think I'll go with the 5th, but don't call now. It'll be at the end of the program. So now that I have their attention, and there'll be some Blue Man Group people waiting till the very end, they're going to have to hear us discuss and share something about God's Word. So do you have any specific maybe impressions of this Roger who shared about chasing God that maybe as a teaser? I think that'll probably air in a couple weeks. We'll see how God will orchestrate that with other competing interviews and things that are going on. But wasn't he phenomenal just in being surrendered to the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he just kept saying that this book is not about accomplishments. This book, Chasing God, is not about what I've accomplished in my ministry. It's about who God is, what God's done. It's stories about how God has taken me, a broken man, and pointed me back towards His mission and sent me out to do something. I just loved his humility. He had a sense of that it wasn't about him at all. You know, it wasn't about, I think he even said at one point, I'm going to pass away soon. I mean, I'm not going to be around forever. And this movement has to keep going. So it can't be about me, because if it's about me, then when I die, it dies.
Yeah, and I think he referenced, I think last year or so far this year, but typically each year, there's about 7,000 different volunteers that participate in all these different projects and ministering to the homeless and the hurting and the people in all these apartment buildings. I think they called it, and you made a good comment, and this will be aired in a few weeks, but about it being in the Tenderloin
area.
Well,
it's in the Tenderloin district in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The joke was that it was through this place called the Tenderloin that his heart was tenderized. I thought that was kind of humorous to me, and God, I think God has a sense of humor that he goes, oh, the Tenderloin? I got a tenderized heart that needs to go into there. But what I really loved is he was attached, I think how he said it, his son knew that Francis Chan, and we all know Francis Chan's a well-known Christian pastor, speaker, and writer, wrote the book Crazy Love, amongst many other books. Francis Chan was moving down to the area in the next county over, and so they invited him to pray for him, just pray for the ministry. Roger is so humble. He just wanted to pray for him. It wasn't about attaching himself to anybody. It wasn't about...
In fact, it was his son that kind of initiated, yeah. And his son says, hey, Francis Chan's going to come, and I've asked him to come so that we can pray over him. And Roger says, who is he? I mean, didn't even know it, so that was kind of humorous.
But just the idea, and he said this, he said that since Francis has come down and helped, that there's been thousands of volunteers who have come, but the problem is they've come to see Francis Chan. They haven't come to really serve, or the servant in some limited capacity, but it's more about being around Francis Chan. You know, I think that in that, hidden inside of what he was saying there for me, is just this great reminder of who are we following. I mean, who are we truly following? Because if you talk to Francis Chan, and I don't know, we haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. We've been working on that. But he seems like a rather humble guy. And I think Francis Chan would tell you where his power comes from. And it doesn't come from him. And we have to stop. Look, at God is using these great authors and these great artists and these great different people to communicate the gospel in new and fresh ways, to help us to understand what it was that Jesus said, to help us to walk out. And God has gifted them in amazing ways. God has gifted me in ways that are way above and beyond what I could even imagine. His word says that, more than you can immeasurably know or imagine. But he didn't do that so that people would follow me. And he didn't do that so people would follow Francis Chan. He didn't do that so people would follow all those. He did that so that people would follow him, so that Francis Chan would bring glory to God, not glory to Francis Chan. But I think just like those people at the foot of Mount Sinai, we forget that God is present, and we begin to look for the other idol. I mean, how fast are we to run to the bookstore and find the next golden calf when we don't need to do that, because the God of the universe is there? And if the God of the universe drives you to read some great Christian authors and to do all these things, you know what? By all means, to the glory of God. But I think we've got to be very careful who we're following. You know, I mean, just I think that great moment with Peter at the end of the book of John, where Jesus just reinstates Peter after three times, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? And then they're walking away, and Peter looks back, and he goes, hey, what about him?
Yeah, what about him?
What about him? And Jesus goes, he says something very poignant. Jesus says, you don't worry about him. You follow me. Mm-hmm. You follow me. Jesus right there in that moment is saying, look, your crosshair's directly on me. And I think that the world wants to take our eyes and put them everywhere else. And when we do that, we disconnect ourselves from the power. Even I've mentioned this many times during my church services, that even as Christians and even as myself, I mean, I look up as a pastor. I look up to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul, his integrity and his character, although many times he's very, very human. But the Apostle Paul, just the way that he persevered and the way that he kept his eyes on Christ throughout the whole of his the last part of his life as he was called to ministry, it's very, very easy to elevate the Apostle Paul really high. It's very easy to read the book of Kings and elevate the work of Elijah as he calls down fire from heaven, you know, to teach the prophets of Baal what it means, the power of God. I mean, what a great moment there. He says, not only do we have that pile of wood, but pour a bunch of water on the wood, because God isn't, look, you can't wet the wood when God's in the house. And so we read that and we're like, Elijah. But James, writing in his gospel, says Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah was a man just like me and just like you. Elijah was a man that God used because Elijah's heart was turned towards God. And the Apostle Paul wrote, he was driven to do what he did through the strength that was given to him by Christ. He says that. He says, do not think I came with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Paul kept saying to the people, it's not about me. I can't do this. You know, I could come to you with all kinds of great things. He says this in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. I could come to you with prophetic words. I could come with you with miracles. I could come with you all those things. But if I don't come to you with the power of love, I'm just a clanging gong. I'm nothing. And when Paul's view of love is the same thing that John would write later on in 1 John, when he says God is love. God is the embodiment. We know how to love because God first loved us. And so Paul drives that from there. That's Paul's power source. You know, if you're a Christian today and your power source is not the Holy Spirit, but it's the last book you read or the last thing that you studied, the last those things, you're operating on AAA when you should have the nuclear power source. I mean, seriously. And God says that. Look, I was reading this morning in Romans chapter 15. I love Romans. But it says in chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." And then it says in the next verse, which is what I love that verse right there, because that tells me that not only some of the Bible, but the whole of the Bible is to give us encouragement and to give us endurance. But then it says in the next verse of verse 5, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity amongst yourself as you follow Christ Jesus." It says there that, look, you're going to get your endurance and your encouragement through the Scriptures, but that would not be possible if it wasn't for the power source called God. If it wasn't but for the power source called the Holy Spirit, who comes and you plug into the Holy Spirit, and you not only get power, but you get superpower. I mean, I just think how amazing it is. But, you know, we want to follow everybody else other than that. We want to follow everybody else other than God. You know, we want to seek healing apart from God's Spirit and God's Word and God's people, and it's not possible. You know what it will be? It'll be momentary healing, not eternal healing. We'll be putting a Band-Aid over something that God wants to heal forever. And we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful who we're following, because it tells us a lot about our hearts. And then it says to go on, and this is what made me think of Roger. I read this morning, and then we were talking with Roger. And then in verse 7, it goes on to say, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." So look at this. God gave us His Word in verse 4 to give us encouragement and endurance. Then it says that God gives us endurance and encouragement through His Spirit so that we might glorify Him through Jesus Christ. And then it says right after that, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you." Look at Christ made the invitation for all of us to come near to Him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "While we were still sinners, God sent His Son to the cross." Look at God gives generously to each one of us. And you know what I think? I think we're so busy following some other kind of God that we have forgotten or forsaken that, and we don't give generously to our brothers and sisters. We look at them and we go, you know, I don't know about that guy. I don't know about that person. I don't really feel comfortable doing that. You know what? The Christian life is not about being comfortable. The Christian life is about being uncomfortable. The Apostle Paul that we want to put up on a pedestal, he lived a very uncomfortable life. The Apostle John lived an uncomfortable life. Peter lived an uncomfortable life. That isn't that God doesn't want you to enjoy your life, but I'm going to tell you what, the joy that you're going to find in your life in Christ is far different than the joy you're going to find maybe presently in your life apart from Christ.
And Roger explains some of that in his testimony. He said, "Many days are very hard or overwhelming or taxing." I think he said something, I wrote it down somewhere, where he said like 70% of the work is really hard and the other 30% is just hard.
Yeah, you know what? I was coming to this the other day. I was reading just different pieces of Scripture, and my mind was getting blown by who God is and what God is. I mean, it says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that if anybody needs, and you know, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask God who gives generously. Okay? So I'm going through the Bible and I'm reading all the things that God does. God gives generously. While we were still sinners, while we were still really bad, God rewarded us with a gift that we don't deserve. And then I read verses on top of that to tell me that I'm supposed to pursue being like Jesus, that I'm supposed to give generously to those who are not generous. I'm supposed to give generously to those who are undeserving, that I'm supposed to sacrifice myself on the altar for my brother and my sister. That I mean, it's amazing, because I don't think we make the connection when we read stuff in the Bible that God does. I don't think we make the connection of the fact that we're supposed to begin to pursue doing those things because we're being more like Christ. The things that Christ did, you know, I mean, somebody, I was talking to a married couple the other day, and we were talking about just how tough it is to be married, you know, and I said to the husband, I said, you know, sometimes you have just got to sacrifice yourself and serve. And he goes, man, but that's so hard. You know, I just hate, I hate doing this, and I hate doing this, and I hate doing this. I said, I want to share something with you. I said, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that you're to love your wife like Christ loved the church. I said, has she asked you to nail yourself to a cross today? Mm-hmm. She has not. So let me tell you what, you still have not met the criteria for Christ's sacrifice to the church. And we become so short-sighted about that because we get so me-centric, like, you know, like, oh, but I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And Christ was about, I know you need those things. That's why I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. Christ sacrificed himself for us. And I think that we give so little to the one who gave so much to us. And we don't do it. Look at, and then we go like, I don't know what to do today. Well, you know what you don't know what to do today? Because you haven't sought encouragement and endurance through God's word. If I got anything from Roger during it, and I don't think that Roger ever said to us, this is my Bible reading plan. This is what I do. This is how I read the Bible. But by the very nature of what he was saying and how he was living his life, that guy's Bible has to be falling apart. He reads it so much. And I wonder what we as Christians would look like. I'm speaking to you right now. What would we look like if we really began to read God's Word? If we really began to try and seek after the God of the Bible? If we really were tenacious about who he is and what he has come to do? If we were really tenacious about looking like Jesus? You know, I was looking on our wall last night. We got one of our walls in our living room. It's got all our family pictures on it, pictures of us at different times in our life and different. And I was just laying on the couch. Our couch is right by there, and I was just staring up at those pictures. And I was wondering if I'm ever going to look at those pictures and look at me in those pictures. And instead of seeing me, I'm going to see Jesus. Because I'm trying so hard to be like Jesus. Am I ever going to look at those pictures and see that? Because right now when I look at those pictures, I see me. And you know what? I want to see less of me and more of Jesus. Not just in my own life and in my own picture, but in the lives of the pictures of the people that I'm touching every single day.
And this is one of the reasons I started the program by saying, I love you, Jason. And what I love in you is how you model Jesus. And I do see Jesus in you, and I thank God for you. And I thank God for Jesus, who mirrored God perfectly. He is God in the flesh, walked this world and shared and extended love and showed us the Father. And Jesus stated very clearly, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And it's Jesus that we follow, that we adore, that we raise on high, that we worship, that we give our affections to, because he's worthy of it. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. Thank you, God, for your Word. Thank you, God, for God's people that surround us and keep us on task and keep us walking close to you. So right now I'm going to give you two numbers. One, if you'd like to talk to a trained counselor about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM, to learn about having a relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as promised, the fifth caller right now will win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Blue Man Group at the State Farm Center. Fifth caller at 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.